My friend Ben Younger reminded me recently that we are living out one of the phrases in Ecclesiastes 3. It says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal. And then it says, a time to tear down and a time to build. Part of life. There is a time for an ending, and then there's time for a new beginning. And we find ourselves now in a season of new beginnings. If you think about it for just a minute, this is a wonderful time. It's a great time of year. It's a great time of healing for our community, for our church. It's a time of new beginnings. We're not very far. It won't be very long until Duck Dynasty starts again. Amen. It's not long until they kick off a football again. It's almost here. School is about to start before too long. It's a time of new beginnings. Surely you've heard by now, and maybe you've seen for yourself, that the demolitions that we needed have all been completed. The demolition time is over. The time to tear down is past. And we're ready for a new beginning. Folks are already starting to rebuild their homes. Some are moving in within the next week. Some folks are ready to move into their homes. Others are continuing to make plans and to rebuild. This is an exciting time of new beginnings. The city is working on infrastructure. They've got plans. The LTRC is working on some plans. It's an exciting time of new beginnings. My only baby girl is going to go and start her life at college this Wednesday. It's a time for new beginnings. Entering this season of new beginnings, I want us to think about it for just a moment, because I don't want us to take it for granted. I want us to recognize the season in which we find ourselves. This time is an exciting time. Don't take it for granted and let it just rush past. Stop for a second and recognize what it means to be able to start again, to be able to experience a new beginning. Last Sunday, we said that our hope is based on God's character instead of our circumstances. Our hope is because of who He is, not because of what happens to us. With that in mind, I want to direct your attention to Revelation chapter 21. Some of you are already there. I want us to look together at Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 1, because I think it's important for us to see the character of God includes new beginnings. Beginning of Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them. And He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." That gives us a glimpse into the character of God. John sees a vision in which he is allowed to see heaven. The gates of heaven, the doors of heaven are open wide, and John is allowed to see God on the throne and all that's happening there. He sees what heaven is going to be like, and he understands that when we find ourselves there, there will no longer be any tears, no crying, no pain, no sorrow, no loss, no mourning, no heartache, no illness. All of those things have passed away. Why? Because God will at that moment be in the process of making all things new. What I want us to understand is the reason that we can hope in that is because it's based on his character. He is a God who makes all things new. Those of you who love three-point outlines are going to be frustrated with me this morning because we don't have a strict outline. That doesn't mean it's a pointless sermon. But what I want to show you this morning, I want to give you just a sense of what it means to recognize our God as one who makes all things new and how that works in our lives as we enter into a season of new beginnings. So let's start where he started. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The earth was without form. In other words, in the beginning, God created the earth, but at that time, it was just a something. We don't know what it was. We don't know if it was round. We don't know if it was square. It was just a blob. God first spoke something into existence. The earth was without form and it was void. It had no structure and it had nothing in it or on it. When he first spoke the world into existence, he just spoke something there. He spoke something out of nothing. Now that's incredibly important. When you and I create, technically we're not really creating. We are taking materials that already exist and we're putting them in different forms and helping people see them in a different way, and so we say we are creative. God created from absolutely nothing. No materials from which to begin. He just spoke and it happened. From his words came this world, this beginning. The earth was without form, and it was void. And then he began to speak into existence newness. He called forth light. He separated light from darkness. He called the darkness night and the light day. He called forth plant life. He called forth the seas. He called forth this round structure. He called forth the animals. He spoke into existence all things new. And then eventually he reached down to the dust of the ground and he formed a human being and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God makes all things new. Well, then we fast forward a little while, and once he created man, man began to have kids, and they began to have kids, and they began to have kids, and before long, the kids forgot God, and they had walked away from him and were doing their own thing. And so God said, I can't have this. My people must follow me. You can't forget who I am. You need to know me. That's why I created you. And so if you're going to reject me and turn away from me, then I'm going to clean the slate and we're going to start over. And he said, Noah, you have been faithful. You take your family together and you build a big boat. You bring on a few critters on that boat. Because when this earth is cleaned off and ready to go, we're going to need those critters too. So you build a big boat, you bring on the critters, you bring on your family, and I'm going to make it rain. And it started to rain, and it rained, and it rained, and God washed the slate clean. And then the sign to Noah to say, I'll never do that again, and life is beginning anew, he brings out a rainbow. The rainbow, even when we see it today, there's something magical about it. There's something exciting about it. There's something that says this storm is over or soon will be. Something about that rainbow says there's something new coming. The sun is on its way. That's what makes the rainbow happen when the sun shows up. God makes all things new. He started with man, and man messed everything up, and so he gave man a new start. Before long, there was a group of people who were basically just kind of wandering. And God brought them together and he formed them into a nation. He said, you're going to be my nation. You're going to be my people. You're going to represent me to the rest of the world. You're going to bring me glory so that they can understand who I am. And he formed a new nation. That's the way he works. He makes all things new. He said, you're going to have a new way of life, and nobody's ever seen this way of life before, so I'm going to write it down on tablets so that you'll understand your new way of life, so that now you can start something new that will reach throughout the world and across the ages. From that new nation eventually became a king. King David was one of the most powerful, one of the greatest kings in the world's history. King David, like his ancestors, reached a point where he wanted what he wanted. He wanted to do things his way. And so he turned his back on that way of life that God had explained to his people. David did his own thing, his own way, in his own time. And when he did, he separated himself from God. That's what sin always does. Sin always separates man from God. God is holy. When man chooses not to be, we can't commune together. Sin always separates man from God. And David is separated from God. God wakes him up through a prophet and helps him understand how his sin has affected his life. And David prays an incredible prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Now that verse is incredible because David doesn't say, God, clean up my heart. He said, God, create in me a clean heart. There are two words in Hebrew for create. One is the one kind of like when we create. It's where you take materials that are already in existence and you form something new out of them. But the other word for create is the one used in Genesis 1 and the one used in this verse when David speaks. It is a word that means you take from nothing and create something new. David doesn't say, God, fix my heart. He says, God, give me a brand new heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Give me a new beginning. And then when you have time later on this evening, look in your concordance And look how many times in the Psalms David and the other psalmists say, sing to the Lord a new song. Why? Because God makes all things new. And God has given David a new heart. And David says, you've made me new, therefore you deserve something new. I want to give you a new song in praise. God makes all things new. Not only does He make our hearts new, He makes our spirits new. In Ezekiel chapter 11, at verse 19, He says, I will give them an undivided heart. See, that's something new because our hearts are almost always divided. We want to follow God, but it sure is hard to let go of the world. Most of us live most of our time with kind of divided hearts. He says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove them from their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Give a new heart. Start over with a new heart and a new spirit. That's a promise from God because He makes all things new. When we come to know Christ, when we come to really trust Him, He takes what Paul says is a walking dead person, dead in sin. God takes that dead person, puts a new heart in, a new spirit in, and we have new life. He makes all things new. That is the point, by the way, of Ezekiel's vision where he looks into the valley and in the valley there's just all these dry bones, skeletons, and they're dry skeletons, meaning they've been there a while. They're dried up, dead bones, skeletons, and in this vision, God makes the dry bones come alive. He restores life to that which was dead. In other words, he's telling the prophet Ezekiel, I'm going to bring my nation of Israel back to life. I'm going to bring revival to my people. I'm going to give them a new beginning. And he did for them and he does for us as well. We continue through the pages of scriptures and we come to the New Testament. Jesus is born pronouncing to the world. The angels come and they say, hey, glory to God in the heavens. There's going to be peace on earth. There's going to be goodwill among men. Why? Because this is a new beginning. Something new is taking place. Jesus grows up and he begins his ministry. And one of the first things he does in his ministry is he calls disciples to follow him. He finds some fishermen and he says, hey guys, y'all follow me. And I'm going to let you stay fishers, but you're not going to fish for fish anymore. I'm going to make something new out of you. You're going to become fishers of men. You're going to be the way in which I attract people to myself. He made something new out of all those disciples. One day he's walking down the road, and there's a crowd around him. And the crowd is around him so much that this short little funny fella who takes taxes from people and cheats people for a living, he couldn't get close enough to see Jesus. So you know the story. Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Lord came by with a big crowd. He looks up. He says, Zacchaeus, what are you doing up there? Zacchaeus said, well, I just wanted to see you. Jesus says, come down from there because you're going to take me to Whataburger. He says, we're going to go eat together. Get down from the tree. Let's go have a meal together. And Jesus changed Zacchaeus and made something new. Out of a short, nasty little tax collector, he became a great disciple. There was a woman who showed up one time at a Pharisee's house. Jesus was having dinner with all these high, important muckety-mucks. And this woman showed up. They knew this woman. This woman used to stand out on the street corner with that short skirt and that painted hair and painted nails. She shows up to talk to Jesus. She comes over to Jesus and she takes off his sandals. And with her tears falling, she washes his feet, dries his feet with her own hair. The Pharisee says, Jesus, what are you doing? Spending time with a woman like that? Jesus says, you don't understand. When I showed up at your house, you didn't welcome me as a guest. You didn't wash my feet like you should have. And yet she has come and given of herself. And that one that we used to call a harlot became a follower of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he makes all things new. Jesus went one day, he's walking along, he's by himself. As we read the story, we finally pick up on the fact that he's by himself by design, but at the time, it doesn't look like it. He just seems like he happens to be by himself. But when he's by himself, he goes to a well, and sure enough, there's a woman at the well by herself. Scripture says that he was that this happened in the heat of the day, which is important because women went to the well to get the water. That was their job. But women are smart enough not to go to the well in the heat of the day. You get up early when it's cool. And so all the women would wind up at the well at the same time. And they'd do all their little talking and Facebooking and, you know, getting ready for the day. And then they'd get on about their business. Why was this woman going in the middle of the day? For that exact reason, because all the other women had already come and gone, and she could go by herself and not be ridiculed because she had made such a mess out of her life, she didn't want to show her face in front of the other women. And she sits at the well, and Jesus comes by. He says, would you give me a drink of water? He did two things wrong, according to their culture. Two things wrong based on their culture. One, he talked to a woman. A man never spoke to a woman unless her husband or her father were present. Second, he spoke to a Samaritan. Nasty dog Samaritan. Jews didn't talk to those people. And yet Jesus did. He spoke to her and said, would you give me a drink of water? And that opened up a conversation about water, and he was able to say to her, I am that water that you're longing for. She said, well, I don't understand how to worship God. We say this, y'all say that. Jesus says, that's not what it's all about. It's all about being truthful. God honors those who worship in spirit and in truth. And then they talk about her life, and Jesus says, I know. You go through men quickly. You've been through five or six of them, I know. But I still love you. And if you'll let me, I'll give you the water that brings life. He made something new out of that woman. Changed her life that day. And she ran home to tell everybody about the new beginning that she just found. The Gospels are full of those stories. One lady was bleeding for 12 years. He made her new. A man couldn't walk his whole life. Jesus made him new. A man had not been able to see his whole life. Jesus made him new. God is all about new beginnings. Sometime later, there's a Pharisee walking down the street. His goal is to get to the next town so he can persecute those nasty Christians who are making trouble. And on his way down that road to go persecute those Christians, a bright light shines, throws him to the ground. That light says, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, I don't even know who you are. What's going on? And he meets Jesus on the road. Jesus makes sure he finds the right man in Damascus, and the right man in Damascus explains to him the truth about Jesus Christ. And Saul is baptized, and he becomes Paul. A new beginning. When Jesus came, later Paul explains to us that when Jesus came and he met with his disciples that night before he died, Paul explains to us how Jesus held up the cup the night before he died. And with that cup, he said, this is a new covenant in my blood. We're starting something new. He makes all things new. At one point, your best hope in being right was God, with God, was to follow the law. But the law showed you that you can't follow it all the way. And Jesus came and said, I'm starting something new. Now the new covenant is, I love you, you trust me, you accept my gift of eternal life based on faith, and then you can be right with God. A new covenant he brought. Even in his life, Jesus demonstrated the new beginning. You know that he died on the cross when they put him on that cross. He died in just a few hours. They took his body off the cross. They put him in a tomb. That was Friday. But then you know what happened on Sunday morning as well. Sunday morning, the women appear at the tomb, and he's not there. Why? Because he already started something new. He makes all things new. That is the point of our baptism. Paul, that one who experienced that newness of life, Paul is the one who explains to us what happens in the waters of baptism. He said, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. It's a picture. Baptism itself is a picture of the new life that Christ has brought. Again, Paul described that for us when he said that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Our God, the one whom we worship, the one whom we serve, the one who sits on the throne, is one who makes all things new. And one of these days, in his time, in his way, he's going to make a new heaven, and he's going to make a new earth. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. He who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Now here's my question. We've seen from beginning to end, the Alpha, the Omega, from Genesis to Revelation, from the start to the finish, he's in the business of making all things new. We've seen it through the pages of Scripture. Old Testament to New. Title to the concordance at the end. He makes all things new. What about you? Have you let the one who makes all things new, have you let him give you a new heart? Have you let him give you a new life? Or are you still trying to trudge through this old world with your old ways and your old life, your old mind, your old sin, dragging you down? Or have you found the new life that he brings when we trust him? We're going to sing a hymn of invitation together, and I want you to think about that question. Am I living my old life by my old self? Or has the one who makes all things new made me new too? Would you think about it? As we think about that and as we sing our song, it might be that the Lord would call you to give your life to Jesus Christ today. To say, I'm tired of living my old life full of my old sin, and I want something new. I need Jesus to forgive me and set me free. You come. Let's pray about that together. But you know, Christians, believers, it might be that it's time for God to start something new in your life too. Because you know what can happen to us believers? We can get so complacent, so used to the way things are, that we real easy slip back into our old way of thinking, our old lifestyle, our old feelings. And even though you've got your fire insurance, you've got your salvation and everything's set, it might be that God is ready to start something new in your life to wake you up a little bit, to bring revival into your life, into your heart, into your family, into your home. My goodness, what if God might just be starting something new in our church? Could it be that one by one, person by person, He's ready to start revival right here? Let's stand. If God calls you to give your life to Jesus, or as a Christian, if He calls you to make some other decision or commitment, would you do it? Would you step out in obedience right now?